Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All righty, here we go. We're getting started on another show, rather podcast. You think that, who was that that said show? Ed Sullivan. Was that Ed Sullivan?
Yeah. I when you said that, I knew that's where it came from, and I was sitting here thinking, man, you're really going back.
Well, you said that last week. I'm pretty sure you said that.
Yeah. And I knew
you were talking about. I may be a youngster. I may be a youngster compared to some people I know.
Well, Ed Sullivan, I was just a toddler when Ed Sullivan was on TV. And so when he said a really big shoe, I thought he was talking about large footwear.
A shoe.
Yeah.
it's like I watched this reaction show where this British guy, and sometimes he has his sister and his mom on it, or his mum, and they react to things. And they were reacting to something in America called Hush Puppies. And the mum is like, I thought that was a shoe. A shoe. but it's obviously something that we eat over here. And it is a shoe, too.
Although I do have to admit, full disclosure here, I hope it doesn't turn anybody off and that you'll stop listening, but I'm old enough to have been somebody who did wear Hush Puppies.
Oh, yeah. Hush Puppy. I like the edible ones better, but it was Long John Silver's, isn't that they had those? But
yeah, you know, sometimes they did taste a little like shoe leather, but that's okay. They tasted good. But Joel, we were going to talk today about the body. Fortunately, we're not talking about yours or mine. That yeah. Might not be good.
Too many hush puppies.
Too many hush
puppies. people, yeah. Well, we just won't go there.
Oh, let's not. But I know I've seen you post on this on social media before, so I know this is kind of near and dear to your heart. But, you know, something I mentioned at the end of the last program is that sometimes what you want to do or what you may think that God is in favor of you doing, whatever that may be throughout your life, it may be nothing like what your church parishioners think it should be.
Right.
because sometimes we, for any of us who have attended organized church buildings, it's not unusual. And I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing to a point. But, you know, usually people try to recruit you for different things. And some of those, they may even try to push some things on you that really aren't you. You might want to help. You might want to be involved. But sometimes it's, you know, the things that are being shoved at you aren't necessarily something that you're all that crazy about. And you know what? We all have different gifts and we all have different talents. And I think just sometimes there are those moments where others, maybe with all the good intentions, we'll try to put some things on you and make it your calling to do whatever when it's just not in your heart to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's other things you'd like to do. Maybe there's other gifts that you have. Like, for example, I wouldn't be any good on the worship team, but maybe there's some other stuff I could do. So if somebody tried to push me onto the worship team, hell might freeze over. And I'm not sure.
And I would probably
it's a possibility.
I would probably try to push you off. Stop it. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Maybe it was the devil who tried to put me up there. But let's talk about this, Joel, because there are people out there who do have different gifts and talents. We are all different in the body of Christ. And I've even seen, I want to get this over to you, but I'll just throw this out there. Yeah, I got to figure out how I'm going to say this. I've even seen some people, and some of these people I really do respect and appreciate much of what they teach, okay? But I've even seen people who, maybe it's because of their background, maybe it was a conservative denominational background or something, and some of that just stuck with them.
Right.
And so they get a little, even on their social media posts, they have to go down this road because they don't necessarily have a gift, a specific gift, that is. They want to poo-poo that gift.
Right.
Talking about a spiritual gift here, not just a musical talent.
Right.
And so there are different gifts, you know, from the Spirit that will be given to different people. And so there's no reason to become jealous or to become, you know, feeling like you've got to poo-poo a gift of the Spirit just because you don't operate in it.
Or understand it.
Yeah, or understand it. Or maybe take a couple verses of the Bible out of context and just say, well, this is no longer in effect.
Right. And you have your certain interpretation of things, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, we get so Bible conscious that we lose our perception of the Spirit. It's a spiritual gift. Holy Spirit. Still alive, still functioning, the Holy Spirit, that is. And so I just want to encourage people out there that sometimes, even though you have experienced and function within a spiritual gift, again, there are other gifts out there that may not have anything to do so much quite with spiritual gifts, but I flipped the table here just a little bit, Joel. And I just want to say that you don't have to put up with that.
Okay? Right. Yeah.
Because I know people mean well, and they want to try and keep you from getting damaged or being deceived into some sort of thing that doesn't really exist. But there are those of us who do function in certain gifts that others do not. That doesn't make one person any better than the other or one any less than the other. So I'm going to let you take it from here, and I doubt if I'll talk the rest of this program.
Well, I think we're both gifted differently, and I think we both have some good things to say. And I do think as well that, you know, I love how over the last year or two, our listeners it's become more active in the comments section, especially on YouTube, because you all share your thoughts on these things too. And, you know, I was one of these people who was kind of caught in the bondage of having other people kind of dictate what I'm supposed to do within, you know, a church setting or a ministry setting. And I went along with it. In a sense, it wasn't like a harsh bondage, but yet in myself, I was uncomfortable doing a lot of the things that people thought that I should do. Just one example, my wife would work in, this is years ago, but she would work with the kids, the youth, not the youth, but the young kids, like during church, then they would have the kids, all the younger kids, all in, you know, being looked after. And afterward, I would come in and as they were waiting for the parents to pick up the kids, I would interact with the kids, make them laugh, and just be funny. And people were like, you really need to work, you know, you really need to work in here, you know, with the kids. And in myself, I'm like, I don't hate kids, but I do not like being around so many kids. It's just, I can do it for a few minutes. It's fun for a few minutes to just make them laugh and giggle and have fun. But I do not want to spend a large amount of time, you know, raising my own two kids was enough. That was good for me when they were toddlers. And it's not me. It's not in my heart to do that. But everyone was thinking that that was what I was called to do. And fortunately, I didn't ever have to do that. But there were other things that, you know, being called to go door to door, hand out leaflets for our church. This was one of the first churches that I went to, and I did not like doing that. I was not comfortable doing that. But time went by, and eventually I discovered, you know, who I really was within the body of Christ and who I wasn't. And I think that's important for people. And it's not that when I would do those things, it's not that it didn't necessarily bear fruit. You know, some good came out of those things that I was uncomfortable doing that weren't really me. But it was good when I finally discovered that that wasn't me. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are really good. I think Paul writes some really good things that are helpful for people in, you know, when you're discovering who you are within the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds, this is verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works them all in all men. This is the NIV, and I chose this because years ago I was taking a class and we used this, especially verse 12, which I'll get to in a second. But long story short, he's saying that we're one body. Well, let me get to verse 12 then. The body is a unit. Again, NIV here. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Now, the baptism here is not water baptism, but he's saying it's having been baptized by the Spirit, by one Spirit, into one body. We were submersed into the Spirit, into one Spirit, and into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So no matter what your part is in this body, it's the same Spirit. It's the one body. And then just before that, then he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit determines how He's going to gift everybody individually within the same one body that was put together by the same Spirit. And I think that whether you read 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, or any place, I do not believe that those are exhaustive lists, all-inclusive lists of what the gifts are, of the way that He gifts and gives people talents and ways to work within the body of Christ. I think that there are hundreds and thousands of more ways in which He works in and through people. Paul was just talking in general, I believe, when he mentions these things. And, you know, some of these things, people, again, like you were saying, they will take these Bible verses, they'll interpret them in certain ways and say, it must be done this way. It can't be done another way. It has to be this. It can't be that. But again, we're talking about the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. He determines how these things are used in the lives of people. Other people don't determine that for you. Now, other people can help you and give you guidance and wisdom. You know, the Holy Spirit can use other people. The Holy Spirit used other people in my life to help me to realize who I was. But at the same time, just because somebody else says it doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. You have the privilege and the joy of working together with the Holy Spirit to determine what part you have in the body of Christ. And again, it may be what other people see in you, what other people think that you should be, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with that. And it's all good when it's the Holy Spirit who's doing the work in and through you.
Yeah, you know, at the end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, for example, Paul, again, talking still about members individually in one body are, let's see, and God has appointed, okay, verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and I show you a more excellent way. And then it goes into the next chapter where it talks about love. You know, there's faith, hope, and love. It's said that the greatest of these is love. That doesn't mean we diminish faith and hope, right?
Right.
So, but there are different functions within the body. And I just think sometimes people get so biblically conscious that we become less effective when it comes to spiritual ministry and understanding that God, you know, I've mentioned before, Joel, that sometimes God will work through us in ways that aren't necessarily going to be anything like what other people think it should be. So, in other words, God began this good work in us. He is faithful to complete it. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes people confuse that with doing good works. Doing good works is great. It's part of your new identity in Christ. Doing good works does not bring faith. Doing good works does not result in justification. Doing good works does not result in a new life in Christ. It's because we're in Christ that we want to do the types of things that we would do as a new creation in Him, having inherited the attributes that belong to God now dwelling within us. And so with that said, sometimes walking in the Spirit, sometimes God working in and through us, you know, when people start pushing good works, again, remember everything I just said, that's a good thing. But sometimes when they're pushing that, the specifics are always missing, you know. In other words, if is faith really dead if you're not working hard enough?
Right. I mean,
if that's true, then specifically tell me what it is I need to be doing. That just never happens. I mean, people can give you a list, but they can never really tell you when you've crossed the line from faith or dead faith to real faith and all of that. And so with different gifts and God working in and through us based on our talents, our abilities, or just gifts that God has given us, spiritual or otherwise, what that looks like may be entirely different from what people think it should look like. It's not always going to be this super spiritual looking thing.
Right.
It just might be everyday stuff going on that others, now get this now, that others may never see. And Jesus encouraged that. I know sometimes we want to say, well, if people can't see it, then something isn't right. Well, that's not walking by faith.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I know love can be demonstrated, but walking by faith and not by sight, right? So there are times where it's just God working in and through us, and it's going to be very different from the status quo of what church ideology may think that should be. Sometimes it may be seen, sometimes it may not, Joel.
Yeah, and don't let others look down on you. If you're quietly working at whatever you're doing, and you know that it's God calling you to do it, or you know, working for the good of the body, or whatever, but other people can't see it, and they'll think, because I've been there too, where people, he's not participating in this ministry or that ministry, and I've been kind of judged and condemned by people in church for certain things, and I've been just quietly just doing what I'm called to do. And in the past, I've let that get to me, but I've learned over the years to not let that happen. And another place, Ephesians 4, you know, some people think that a church has to have this, what they call a fivefold ministry, because Ephesians 4 says, and he himself, God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man. But they focus on this, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, as if that is a complete list. And I don't believe that is either. I think that there are other ways in which people can be equipped and edified in the body of Christ. And I don't think you have to have all five of these things in place all at once. Some people think you have to. I think, again, like you were saying, we get so Bible-minded. And I think, you know, these words are here for encouragement. And Paul was definitely encouraging people with those words. But I think it's not a complete list. And, you know, we talked about 1 Corinthians 12. And then there's 13, and then there's 14, and people, boy, they do have their interpretations of chapter 14, and they fight about it, and there's all kinds of things that go on with that. But the main thing I think that Paul is saying here, if you look at chapter 13, it really is about love, and again, not at the exclusion of faith and hope, but you can have whatever gift you have. You can be working in whatever gift you have. You can have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and knowledge. You can give your body to be burned. I mean, he's given all these hypothetical examples, but so what if you don't have love? I mean, love, I think, is the main thing, that we have love for one another. Whether we understand the ways that God has called us or other people, whether we understand what's really going on with anything, really. He's called us to love each other. And again, not at the exclusion of these other things, faith, hope, and all these other things. But if we don't have love for one another, so what? So we can be free to walk as the person that you are, that God has gifted you to be. And again, whether people see it or not. And I think that's a big thing. As we wrap up here, there is such a focus on seeing and on manifestation. People have to see it, but they don't. They really don't. It's good. It can be good if what you're doing is seen by others, but in so many more cases, I think it's not seen, but it's still God who is at work in you doing that thing.
Yeah, there are manifestations out there, but you're right. The bottom line is that the motivator for us at all times should be love, because God is love. And the thing that we all have in common, in spite of our differences, in spite of our uniqueness, we are individuals. There is nobody quite like you. So in spite of our different gifts and talents and abilities, we all have one thing in common, and that is we are a part of the body of Christ, the ultimate gift. So, Joel, I would say to that, good talk, son.
Good talk, Dad.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.